Good morning. 9:34. I thought 44 was too big. 9:34 today on February the 4th, 2013. It is cold and raw, and this is a day where I was all set to say, oh no, it's just too ugly out there, and thought, you know what, I need to walk more than I need to worry about being cold and uncomfortable. So here I am, walking, talking, making merry like Christmas. Well, perhaps not making merry like Christmas, that may be a bit of an overstatement. 17 minutes on the first mile, 17 and change, that's not bad. Particularly since I was doing a lot of standing around after I got Endomondo going this morning. So yeah, good. Must have put in some good effort in the first mile. It's still cold. Anyway, the air is moist and there's a breeze. And for here, moist air is a rarity. The wind not so much rare, but having it be a cold, wet wind blowing on my face, that's ugly. Very uncomfortable. My fingers and my gloves are freezing. Let me see if I can't make a fist inside the glove. That'll help. Anyway. So today's Monday. Kids got off to school okay today. I think the wife got off to work this morning. I think she's going to stay all day. That would be a bonus. She's working hard to try to get a handle on her various illnesses. So seeing her do this is very uplifting, very gratifying. I hope she's able to continue making good progress. Today is one of those days where I feel like a little old man hobbling around the neighborhood. It's funny, I've had this sort of split vision of myself the last few weeks. Been even more dramatic in the last couple of days for obvious reasons, but I remember watching the old geezers trundling their butts around the neighborhood in various places that I've lived, out for their daily walk, and now I am one. I was riding home from picking up the kid the other night, and realized that Saturday night, 9 o'clock, 40 mile an hour zone, I'm poking along at 35, and people are going by me like I'm standing still, and realized I'm now that guy. It was a little disconcerting, to be frank. So I took the speed up to 40, so at least I was doing the speed limit, because I really didn't want to be that guy. So a couple of the cousins are heading up to Maine, probably today, for the services tomorrow. I'll be flying in the spring for the interment. I think I talked about this yesterday, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it today. I did chat with my sister for a few minutes this morning on Facebook. She's going to send me the text of her words, what she plans to say at the service tomorrow night. Give me a chance to help her fine-tune it a little bit. Maybe I'll add a paragraph of my own. I don't know. Seems a bit disingenuous to inject my words if I'm not going to be there to deliver them in person. to go and tell my sister Lori's story. The one that keeps coming back to me is one of the oldest stories about my sister Lori. And I think I've told it here before about how my sister Lori, my mother, used to fight all the time. There's something special about relationship between mother and daughter that somehow they needed to find their own space in a way that as a son I really couldn't comprehend. One of the things that my sister Laura used to do was go up Grey Corner and drink beer on Saturday night with Percy Tarbox. She'd come home stinking of beer at 3 o'clock in the morning. My mother would rail. One thing my mother could do, and do with a certain amount of style, consistency, was rail. Bless her soul. God rest it. Well, this went on for weeks. Might have been months. Probably was. One day, Laurie didn't come home. She went out, normal, Saturday night, drinking beer with Percy Tarbox, and never came back. Well, my mother looked all over the place and called everybody she could think of, but nobody'd seen her. Nobody heard from her for the better part of a week and a half. Now, this was in the days when having a kid run away for a week wasn't all that unusual. Having them gone for some time and then come dragging their tails between their legs home behind them is not odd. Wasn't automatic cause for a yellow alert or nothing like that. Hindsight probably should have been. But anyway, a week, 10 days, maybe 2 weeks later, my mother gets a call from a sheriff in some place in Alabama. Now, it's never a good sign to get a call from a sheriff in Alabama, even if you live in Alabama, I suppose. Wanted to know if she had a daughter named Lori. My mother said yes. He says, well, I got her in a cell here. She's been here for the better part of a week. If you'll agree to meet her when she gets off the bus, I'll put her on a bus and send her north. Turns out he'd stopped them for speeding. Found him in the back seat of a stolen car, which happened to belong to my grandfather. Beautiful car. 66 Chrysler Imperial, all electric. It was gorgeous. But they'd driven it all the way down the coast, and the trunk was loot from pharmacy robberies all up and down. Now, Percy Tarbox was there and a couple other guys. Lori in the back seat. Well, they didn't have anything to keep her on. They put her in a cell till they could find out who she was. She wouldn't tell them. She wouldn't tell them for days. She stayed there in that cell. Stubborn as a rock, that girl. Get her back up. Damn little it would change it. Never did talk about it much. I asked her what it was one time about why she changed her mind and told them who she was so they could find where to send her. She said, I'm not going to say much except one word. Rats. That was all she'd say. She got home a few days later. you never did go back up drinking in the Gray Corner with Percy Tarbox, because I think he may still be in jail. But after that, I don't think my mother looks at the going up a drink beer at Gray Corner with Percy Tarboxes quite as bad as it might have been. Laurie just never did it after that. That's my sister Laurie. She used to tell about keeping turkeys. She and Johnny got turkeys one year. They were going to raise turkeys for Thanksgiving. They got a couple dozen turkeys. Turkeys are stupid birds, apparently. You have to keep them in a covered pen, because apparently, as the story goes, they're so dumb, they'll go out in the rain, feel the rain on their heads, and look up. Of course, when they look up, their beak's open. Their beak's open, their mouth's filled with water, and they drown in the rain. Now, I don't know if that's true about turkeys. It says something about turkeys. It could be just a domesticated kind. I can't imagine wild turkeys would get that dumb, but possible. But she told about the day they went slaughtered them, dressed them out for market. And she had this way of saying, talking like a turkey. And she would, "Oh, pick me." And they'd see them coming to the vents, and they'd all say, "Pick me, pick me, pick me." And they'd take one out, cut its head off, and strip it down, and the rest of the turkeys in the pen would go, "Oh." And they'd walk up to the door, and dumb birds would say, "Pick me, pick me, pick me." I can't tell that story the way Laurie does. Because she was there at the time, it's a little more immediate for her. I'm just telling you secondhand what my sister Laurie used to say. Doesn't have quite the same impact. The problem is if I went to the service, those would be the kinds of stories I'd have to tell. Those are the stories that make my sister Laurie special. Neither one of them's the kind of story you could tell at a funeral, I don't think. Although, I do remember when we went to the funeral for my wife's grandmother, Bessie Peabody. Bessie was a ripe old lady. I sailed with people with cleaner mouths than that. She used to tell dirty stories all the time. And somehow, minister got the word that she used to tell funny stories all the time. She used to tell jokes. Somehow missed the reality that they were, every one of them, absolutely filthy. Just dreadful dirty jokes. And so, those of us who knew her were killing ourselves laughing at his eulogy. I wonder if that would happen if I were to give Laurie's eulogy. Of course, the difference being I knew Laurie. He didn't know Bessie Peabody from a hole in the ground. This cold out's got my nose running. That's my story. I'm sticking with it. Laurie was a hell of a hunter. She used to hunt deer. Of course, you could only take one deer a year. And that's all she'd take. She'd take her one deer. Because she liked venison, she ate it. Wasn't like she did it for the sport. She did it for the meet. She started at a really young age. I think she was 16, maybe 17 when she got her first one. It was no end of amusement around the family because my father was a hunter too, and he never got a deer, ever. No, I take that back. He got one year. But he went hunting every year. Every year he'd go hunting. He'd spend hours in the woods. As I grew up and began to appreciate our family dynamic, I understood why. I think I also understood why he didn't shoot any deer. It's a hard thing to do. But Laurie is one with the deer. Laurie was part of the earth. Much as I like to think I'm a son of the soil, I don't think I can come near to what she had in terms of her gifts and her views. She'd take a deer every year. Her ex-husband, the one who sued to foreclose on the farm while she was sick, he used to go hunting every year too. He was a big white hunter. He was, you know, he'd do all the seasons. There was a bow season and a black powder season and a doe season and a buck season. Well, he'd go. He'd do them all. He'd try to do them all. He'd go off and be gone for 2 weeks. Come back skunked. Next season come, he'd go off, be gone for 2 weeks and come back skunked. I have a feeling he was a beer hunter, not a deer hunter, because they take several cases of beer and they never brought any of that back, so I'm guessing it. There was a lot more beer than deer on his trip, but be that as it may, can't fault a man for drinking beer. But every year he'd come home and Laura would have one hanging for him in the garage. Because she didn't have to leave the house, really, to catch a deer. When she got her farm built up, deer season come, she just kept her 30-06 in the backyard. She'd go out in the morning, tend her flowers. More days than not, there'd be a deer back there. Of course, she'd only shoot one, because that's all she was allowed. That's all she claimed, anyway. As far as I know, that's all she ever did. I think she just did it to show up Bobby. I think she did it just to show him. She's a crack shot. She had a lot of respect for firearms. She used them well, used them for their purpose. Kept them locked up otherwise. She was a sketch show. Somebody mentioned they found a picture of her on the Get Funded, and I went and looked at the link, and the link's dead now. I can't get at it. I can't get it. But I did get in touch with some of the family back east and asked if anybody has that photo. There's also one on the Facebook page for the auction and benefit that they did for her. And it's on Facebook. I don't know that I want that picture. It's not bad. It's a good picture. It's got a grin. She has that silly grin. It's in that picture. She's waving. I never noticed her hair was white when I was back there in October, so I think that's a change. Not too surprising under the circumstances. I'm not even sure it was really her hair. It might have been just been a white bandana. Seems to me she lost her hair at the last round of chemo. But there's pictures of her somewhere. I'll find some. I'll get them scanned. Maybe I'll put them on a website someplace and share them. Maybe not. So 19 minutes on the second mile. I'm here at the door. I'm glad I took the walk. I still don't feel any more like taking a walk now than I did when I started, which is unusual, but I'm glad I did. Thanks for spending the time with me and listening to me tell stories about my sister Laurie. But for now, being at the back gate and all, it's time for me to say tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.